The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put out those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Of the Lord's Prayer this morning. Page 324. What is the fifth petition? "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. You all are Christians, right? I'd hope if you're here today that you are. And so there is a technological, nerdy, sort of theological term that pastors and theologians like to flaunt around for what it means to live the Christian life. It's called paraenesis. You don't need to have a spelling check on that today as you leave. You don't need to worry about remembering that. But it's a Greek word that talks about what it means to live life as a Christian. And so for all of you here today who are Christians, who call yourselves the baptized people of God, what is the hardest thing about paraenesis, living the Christian life? What is the hardest thing that you battle with every day trying to live as a Christian? Some of you may say, "Well, I don't pray as much as I should," or "I don't know how to pray, Pastor. People ask me to pray for them. Maybe I'm on a prayer chain here at church or in the community. I don't really know how to pray for people and ask God for the things that I know I should be asking, or let alone, I just don't even bother with it." Maybe it's a matter of love. Maybe it's this idea that there are those people in your life that you really have a difficult time loving and accepting. Maybe it's in your family, maybe it's somebody in the community, somebody you disagree with, somebody that just really annoys you each and every day. Some of you may say, "Well, I don't seem to be able to give enough, Pastor. I try to live out the Christian life. I can't give enough, maybe financially or of time here at the church. Things are kind of limited with what I can do, and I just don't feel like I'm doing enough for the church, for the kingdom of God." And others of you might also say, I just don't feel like I know enough about the Bible. You know, I try to read the Bible, but I sit down and I open it up to 1 Chronicles, and there's all these names that I can't pronounce, and all of these things that happen, and I'm confused, and I just put it away. What is the most difficult thing that you and I have each and every day with living out our life as Christians? I think it's right here with what we just said in the fifth petition. Forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That is absolutely probably the hardest thing that you and I have to do each and every day. It is what God commands us to do. Forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Love one another as I have forgiven you. And why is it so terribly difficult? Because you have been so terribly wronged by people in life, haven't you? And so have I. Your reputation has been smirched by people, whether online or in person. Your husband or your wife has said horrible things or maybe even done physical things against you. Your brothers or your sisters have done things against you. There's sharp divisions in our own family life, let alone in our country and our society. People are stark raving crazy today, it seems, with committing heinous acts against each other in thoughts, words, and deeds. Las Vegas last week should remind us of that. But in the midst of all of this, God tells us to forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Yes, I know, Pastor, but you don't understand what this person has said or done to me. This hasn't happened to you. You don't know what it's like to live in my shoes. Forgive as you have been forgiven. It's that annoying little work of God through the Holy Spirit in the back of our conscience, reminding us that we are to forgive. And it is the hardest thing to do, isn't it? Because we place ourselves in the place of God with this petition. I don't know if you deserve my forgiveness. I don't know if you're sorry enough. I don't know if you've truly proven to me that you are sorry enough. And therefore, I am going to withhold forgiveness from you. And what God says to us in the face of all of that is, it's not your forgiveness in the first place. It is mine. It is my forgiveness that has been won for you by the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been poured out freely for you today in word and in short moment here in sacrament as we went back to our baptism there with the confessing of our sins and we drowned our sins and resurrected ourselves again with Christ in his empty tomb. Forgiven, clean, and washed. Pure, holy, blameless, forgiven. And he tells us to give that forgiveness to one another. But I want you to take one important point away from all of this today. Do not take this petition as a this-for-that type of petition. This petition is not saying to you today, God is not saying to you today, I will only forgive you if you are willing to forgive those people who have horribly wronged you. If you are willing to forgive these people, then I will forgive you. That is not what this is saying whatsoever today. Because if that is where we are at with God, then I am sunk, and so are you. And Jesus' cross, his death, his resurrection, really don't pay the full price, does it, if God is working with us in that sort of way? Sure, he died for the sins of the world, as we hear from Holy Scripture. He died for everyone's sins, from Adam to the last person. But if God looks at us and says, now I'm only going to give this out to you if you're only willing to forgive those people who have horribly wronged you, then we're sunk. No, this is a matter of God's grace flowing abundantly, wholly, and freely for you in your life. It is like taking a sack and being given all of the food and drink that you could ever imagine fitting into that sack, and then the sack just bursts open with even more food and drink because the sack isn't big enough to hold all that you're getting. That is what God's grace and his forgiveness is all about for you. He gives you so much. As the scriptures say, your cup runneth over. King James likes to put it that way. Your cup runs over. God's love and his mercy and his forgiveness flows over so much, covering all of your sins, your hatred, your anger, all of the things that we have done in thought, word, and deed against one another. It is all taken away, and it flows over, this forgiveness, so much out of your life that you are now, by the Holy Spirit, able to forgive others. We are able to forgive others. Some of you may remember back in a couple years ago, there was an African-American church in South Carolina where a white supremacist came in and shot up a bunch of people who were having Bible class. And as that white supremacist was put on trial, a bunch of congregational members came into the courtroom, and they looked at the white supremacist who was sitting there with literally blood on his hands of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And do you remember what they said? We forgive you. And the media and everybody else, we don't understand. We don't understand. See the love that they have for one another. That is the love and forgiveness of Christ flowing out of the people who had a horrific thing happen to them and to their congregation. And yet, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to look at the face of evil and hatred and violence and show love. And love covers a multitude of sins. They pronounced absolution when the world was looking at this and saying, vengeance, vengeance, hatred, hatred, death, death. Why? Why? They looked in the midst of all of this with all of the questions, and they simply said those blessed, wonderful words that Jesus speaks to you today. I forgive you. I forgive you. He sent his son to the vineyard, to you and to me. He came to that which was his own, and his own would not and did not receive him. We esteemed him stricken, smitten, and afflicted. We looked upon him nailed to the tree, but in all of this, the glory of God is revealed for you today. No matter what you have done against one another or to yourself, no matter what has been done against you, God in Christ forgives all of it. All of the mess is gone, washed clean and pure by his blood. Even if the person who has offended you does not beg you for forgiveness, God takes away those sins from you as well and calls you his own dear beloved child. And he wants this for us wholly and freely. And as we continue on living in a life and a world that is so terribly broken and fouled up and messed up, keep remembering those precious words that God in Christ tells us today. I forgive you. And now you go out with the power of his Spirit, able and yes, even willing to forgive no matter how much you have been offended or hurt. All because of Christ and his love for you. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We continue with verse 6 of 766.